are the Watchers, keepers of data from the life forms that inhabit the known universe. Having reached the pinnacle of ascension, there is nothing for us. We find ourselves bored. Hence, through the lives of other lower life forms, we seek to live vicariously, remembering the simpler times. The creatures we watch the most call themselves humans. By far, these are the most destructive creatures we've come to know. However, they are the most exciting to watch. We, the Watchers, have kept a database of the most intriguing lives we've come across, and wish to share them with you here at the Jaconian Universe.
Three Nights of Fear, a novel that takes place on World 52 of the Draconian Universe. Written and narrated by MG. To my 7 brothers and 2 sisters who never failed to curve a smile onto my face. To my mother and father who sacrificed so much. This is for you. Prologue, Jaden. I've cried, I've raged, hell, I've even prayed. But this perpetual nightmare of my reality sneaks back around every dark alleyway. I've tried exterminating it at every corner, but it crawls back into my life, burying itself deeper into my spine like a parasite. All that's left is to give up. What other option do I have? Looking through the window of my classroom, I watch as an endless supply of orange-colored leaves rocked back and forth amidst the droplets of rain, reflecting off the ever-so-perfectly circular and elegantly blinding sun. It's beautiful and eerily relaxing. One can easily be lost in all of eternity, trying to appreciate the secrets of this world. Many have tried, and all have failed. I often wonder why people even bother. After all, it's not an eternity that we have, but a mere 40 to 50 year lifespan. And that's if we're lucky. In my peripherals, I see a bird gracefully fly onto a nest, carrying a worm, which wiggles about in its beak, trying to break free. The hairs on my body fully erect as I watch the slimy worm violently squirm for its life. My face wrinkles in disgust. 3 other birds on the nest, baby birds, open their mouths wide, chirping and fighting for the worm to be shoved into their mouth. However, only one bird would receive the worm. The bird shoves the worm into one of the 3 baby birds' mouth. Then it proceeds to briskly fly away as the 2 unfed birds chirp in hunger. Seconds later, another bird, this one is slightly more colorful, lands onto the nest. It was carrying an insect, like the previous bird. It feeds one of the baby birds, then flies away, just as fast as the other bird. Although I'm watching the birds through a glass window, I swear I can hear them chirping away, awaiting the return of their loving, caring parents. This sight alone makes me smile, but at the same time, it makes me want to curl up into a ball and cry. The smile on my face quickly dissipates and is replaced with my usual grim, monotone expression. The bird nest outside is no longer filled with chirping birds. They fade away, and the nest is empty. It looks decrepit, like it's been abandoned for years. The falling leaves are no longer smoothly rocking back and forth, but they are instead swirling violently in the wind, and the small droplets of rain have instead transformed into a more rapid and fear-inducing downpour. Lastly, the sun has been hidden by large, intimidating clouds that threaten to take down the beauty I once saw in this world. And it has succeeded. Not today, but long ago. The true colors of my harsh reality, disguised in what I once saw as a beautiful world, reveals itself to me. It's dreadful and shows no mercy. I too have parents. Scratch that. I had parents, and it's been a long time since I last saw them. A really long time. 11 years to be precise. If for some reason you haven't guessed it, they're dead. Both my parents. They're no longer here to care for me, to love me, like those birds being fed. Memories flash into my head. With every flash, I feel as though I've been struck by a bolt of lightning, specifically designed to rip apart bits of my soul. To be honest, I'm not sure I have one anymore. I'll let you be the judge of that. We'll never let anything happen to you, they said. We'll always be here for you, they said. However, now they're gone, leaving not only me, but my sister, who was but a baby at the time, abandoned. I was young at the time, but unfortunately, I have a really good memory. Too good of a memory. There isn't a single day that goes by that I don't relive the traumatic experience I had on that night, the night I lost them. Silly, right? I should have let them go by now, right? What is it they say? Moved on? No. Not when you lose your parents who have raised you for years, loved you, provided for you, and hid you from the unknown dangers of this world. You can't simply let them go. It's impossible, no matter who you are, especially not when you witness their gruesome demise. Like I said, I've tried everything, including memory suppression. That's just a sugarcoat for drugs. And lots of it. Not some weird-ass magician waving a damn watch in between your eyes. Drugs. The drugs worked for a while, but one day, it all came crashing down like a raging avalanche and knocked me on my ass for days, physically and mentally. The heartaches were unbearable and would come in the most inconvenient of times, haunting me every day and every night. It still does. I don't sleep much anymore. Not since my world was disposed of and turned into a world that I hardly recognize. Correction, not until I was violently slapped into the world I truly inhabited. As a result, I was emotionally and physically scarred. I tend to daydream a lot and get lost in thought at random intervals of my day. And yeah, daydream is just the sugarcoat for what I really do, and that's hallucinate. Yeah, it's that bad. I tend to do most of my hallucinations in class when my teachers are giving their yawn-inducing lectures. Most teachers don't seem to really care if I'm in my own world. For the most part, none of them interfere. They know I have issues. They think I'm insane. Or maybe I'm just overthinking it. Though, I know if I was a teacher, I would think I'm troubled as well. Perhaps it's for the best that they don't interfere, because I can get pretty grumpy when I don't get my sleep, which is every day. I remember the scarring event of my life as though it was yesterday. Cliche, I know. Just shut up and let me finish. Sorry, that was rude. I didn't get much sleep last night. The scar etched across my very soul is fresh, and with each passing night it grows. May 18th, 2022. 2021. Everything about that day was strange. I remember being dismissed early from school. The streets were flooded with soldiers as I rode home. Mom and Dad were quiet. In fact, the whole city seemed to have gone quiet. The kids at school were acting strange. The teachers were nervous. And there was an incident at school that day where one of the middle school students had a panic attack. When I asked any adult why everyone was acting so strange, they avoided answering my question. And instead, they would say something like, "You don't want to know," or "Let's hope you don't find out." It was all very strange. However, I now know that it wasn't that day that had everyone on edge, but instead, it was that night. The night of May 18th, 2021, marked the beginning of the Lunar Tetrad. A lunar tetrad is a period of time when a series of four consecutive total lunar eclipses take place. These four consecutive total moons happen in a two-year process. A total eclipse, or like others like to call it, a blood moon, will occur twice a year during this two-year period. This mostly takes place every 11 to 18 years, sometimes even as little as 7 years. May 18th of 2021 marked the first blood moon, which also marked the beginning of the three nights of fear. This is also referred to as the harvest. During these three nights of fear, the most populated regions would transform into ghost towns. During this night, everyone is told to lock him or herself at home and to hide before the arrival of the blood moon. We did just that. My mother and father turned on the home security system, of which I didn't even know we had, and were suddenly equipped with massive guns. Naturally, I was scared. "What's going on?" I remember asking. My dad just looks into my eyes and says, "Everything is going to be okay." He then ushers me to go and check on my sister, Sarah. I'll never forget what took place a few hours later. I explicitly remember building a tower of Legos with my sister when suddenly I hear a ground-shaking explosion. The power in the house immediately goes out, leaving us in the pitch darkness. My sister Sarah cried in fear, and both my parents came to us with blinding flashlights. What was that?" I asked, completely terrified. Was that an earthquake?" "No, Jaden, I wish. The harvest has started," Mom replied. I've never in my life heard her sound so afraid. At the time, I didn't know what the harvest was. The only harvesting I knew about was the collecting of crops, and I knew that wasn't what my mom was referring to. Now, I clearly know what that word signifies. Minutes after the blood moon appears, several large vessels suddenly surround Earth. From those large vessels, smaller vessels exit, like bees exiting their hive, and they begin to enter our atmosphere, piercing the air in a torpedo-like fashion. In those vessels are aliens called Yuthim. Yuthim is just another word for alien. Like most people, I just call them the Eem. In summary, they're creatures from outer space that only come to harvest and kill whom they can in three nights. Hence the name Three Nights of Fear. Only six at the time, I had no idea what was happening, and that terrified me even more. One day everything is normal, and the next day, everything from the expression on the faces of people to the very atmosphere changes. You could cut the tension with a knife and serve it on a silver platter. Not knowing what was causing the immense fear my parents were experiencing terrified me even more. I start to panic and ask questions, hoping for answers, but instead, they place the finger to their lips, telling me to calm down, without explaining why. They hid my sister and I into a special closet that could only be opened from the inside. "Don't open this door until we come back for you, okay? Make sure you keep Sarah quiet," my mother said. Streams of tears ran down her face. Dad was never the emotional type, but on that night, he hugged me tight, kissed my forehead, and told me, "I love you, Jay." He says it like everything is okay, but the fact that those words just came out of his mouth meant everything wasn't okay. Tears threatened to flow down his eyes, but he managed to hold them back. My father realized that he was scaring me more than he was comforting me. So he grabbed my mother, wore a half smile on his face, then left. Tears were rolling down my face, and every few seconds I would use my small hands to wipe them away. For several minutes, I sat in the pitch darkness of the closet, awaiting the return of my parents, trying to keep my sister calm. Spoiler alert. My parents? Yeah, they never came. I held my sister close to me. At 3, she was smart enough to realize that something was very wrong, so she too kept quiet. Minutes stretched and stretched into what had to be an hour, though when you're a kid, 10 minutes could feel like an eternity. And that's when I heard the sound of shattering glass, followed by screams drowned out by gunfire. My sister Sarah shrieked and covered her ears. "Mama! Daddy!" she yelled. "Shh!" I say, trying my best to keep her quiet like Mom said, but it was to no avail. I placed my hand over her mouth and whispered into her ear, "It's going to be okay. Mom and Dad will keep us safe, but you have to be very quiet, Sarah." She eventually stops her yelling, so I let go of her mouth and listen as the gunfire came to a halt. I was relieved, thinking that the worst had passed and that it was safe to come out. How very naive I was. "See, Sarah? Mom and Dad kept us safe." I reached for the door, opened it, and cautiously stepped out into the darkness and unnerving silence of my home. Sarah followed closely and hugged my arm tight as she shivered in fear. "Mom? Dad?" I yelled, running down the stairs and quickly heading to where I thought I heard the gunshots coming from. As I descended down the flight of creaking stairs, I see the only source of light emanating from the living room quarters of the house. In that moment, I wish I had stayed in the closet, as I was instructed to do. Lying on the ground, illuminating the bodies of both my parents and the monstrous creatures surrounding them, was the flashlight. And I stare at that flashlight, knowing that I didn't want to see what was lying next to it. I shift my eyes and I immediately regret it. My heart immediately drops. My parents lay on the floor, surrounded by a crimson red pool of blood. Moreover, staring directly at both Sarah and I were two hideously ugly creatures. I've never seen anything like them in my life. They're terrifying. Their terrifying faces were forever etched into my head. I remember every wrinkle, every snarl, and I'll especially remember every chill of fear I had that night from looking into the killer eyes of the Eam. My father groaned in pain. I stood there, petrified, as both the Eam immediately tore into him like carnivores in the African safari. It took me weeks of reliving that moment to actually deduce that my dad had actually said, "Run, Jaden." "No, stop." The words came out in a mumble, though it still grabbed the attention of both Eam, who were feasting on my father. I witnessed the very last seconds of my dad's soul leaving his body. His chest sunk, as though someone had just deflated a balloon within it. Then, he was gone. He breathed his last painful breath. And in that very second, my sister and I became orphans. My mother was already dead, and by the looks of it, her death was just as painful. One of the Eam stood tall and slowly made its way towards us, the blood of my parents dripping from its mouth. I backed away, taking in the terror walking towards me. It had inch-long teeth shaped like knives, scaly crocodile-like skin. It was tall, maybe 8 feet. It possessed 2 quarter-sized eyes, and directly under them were 2 more eyes, half their size. Lastly, it had a deadly aura surrounding it. Everything about it screamed death at me. I moved my sister, who was even more afraid than I was, behind me, and held both my arms out to protect her. Most people would have me believe it was courage that made me do it, but in reality, I know that it was in fact just instinctual. There was not a single part of me that was feeling courageous at that moment in time. I was sure the Eam could smell the stench of fear emanating from me. The creature crept closer, its snout nearly making contact with my face, and it opened its mouth, revealing more of its blade-like teeth, as if wanting to taunt me before devouring me. It lets out a screech, which made every strand of hair on my body stand. It then takes one of its talon-like claws, and it very gently grazes the side of my face. Despite the slight pinching pain and the trickle of blood flowing from the side of my face, I stand absolutely still. Again, not because I was courageous, but because I was afraid, paralyzed with fear, in fact. The other Eam joins, and both Eam twitch their heads at us like pigeons as they examine Sarah and I from top to bottom. For a moment, the creatures seem to be calm. For a moment, I think they might spare us, but only for a moment. Then, as fast as that moment appears, it's gone. One of the Eam growled in my face and opened its mouth, ready to take a bite out of me. I thought I was dead, that my sister and I too would also be lying on the ground with blood surrounding our bodies as we breathe our last breath. I closed my eyes and gripped the hand of my sister. "Close your eyes, Sarah," I whimper in fear as I cry a river of tears. I could feel the hot breath of the Eam on my face. At this point, I was literally shaking. I was powerless, afraid, and soon I would be dead. Suddenly, I heard the shatter of glass once again. I thought it was the sound of another Eam entering our home. However, the sound of shattering glass was followed by 2 very subtle pops, followed by 2 loud thuds. I no longer felt the warm, decrepit breath of the Eam on my face. When I opened my eyes, I found both Eam lying on the ground. They were twitching and shrieking in pain. I could see the green blood oozing out their bodies. One of them wiggles their tail, trying to strike me. However, after a few more pops, both Eam were motionless. Stepping into the light was a woman, dressed in an all-black tactical uniform. "Are you two okay?" the mysterious woman asks. I don't respond. Instead, I stumble right past her and head towards the bodies of my parents. Halfway there, my stumbling turns into a full-fledged run, and I kneel beside them and shake their motionless bodies, covering myself in their warm blood, which has yet to wash off my hands. "Wake up! Wake up, please! Mom, Dad!" I yelled. Of course, they never did wake up. The shadow of the woman dressed in all black loomed over me. A hand was placed on my shoulder. "They're gone," I'm sorry. We have to go, the woman said. That night, something deep within me snapped. I'm no longer the cheerful child I once was. The child who ran around playing with friends who were all oblivious to the fact that Thieem were coming. That was no longer me. Never again. After the traumatic experience I've been through, most people would never be the same. And I am no different. They have a name for people like us. They call us the mutilated. Supposedly, there is no hope for people like me. Most of us end up giving up and ending the continuous cycle of nightmares ourselves. I would be lying if I said I never thought of it, of ending it. Truth be told, I can't. I'm too afraid that my nightmares would follow me to my grave and haunt me there for all of eternity. It seems the fear I had that night hasn't left me yet. That, and I feel obligated to do what my parents died doing. I have to protect Sarah, as well as keep myself safe, so their deaths won't be in vain. It's been 11 years since that tragic night, and for 8 of those 11 years, I have trained under various self-defense instructors, including ex-Lieutenant Miranda Hayes. She was the one who saved Sarah and I that night. Miranda explained to us that on that night, she happened to be passing by when she heard close by gunfire and screams. Being that she was a soldier and her job was to protect civilians, she rushed into action and, in the process, she saved both Sarah and I. Several days later, Sarah and I were in the process of being put into an orphanage. We didn't have any relatives that were still alive. My parents would always tell me that their families lived far away, but the truth was that they all died during past harvests. The orphanage we were put into wasn't the best. Our caretakers were abusive and nothing like our parents. So within only a week, Sarah and I both snuck away and took to the streets. Merely a couple hours later, after running away, Miranda, a person who knew little to nothing about us, drove up to us and took us in. Apparently, minutes after we'd left the orphanage, she came in seeking to adopt us. And when she discovered that we ran away, she spent hours searching for us. Miranda took the role of our parents and raised us, taught us how to shoot guns, how to protect ourselves, and took us to various different camps and programs that taught us self-defense against the Eem. All in effort to prepare us for the next harvest. It just so happens that 11 years later, the Lunar Tetrad has arrived. The Three Nights of Fear starts tonight.